Hello, this is the Chorus Call Conference Operator. Welcome to Vecima Networks' first quarter fiscal year 2018 results conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please leave the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call will begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the first quarter year, for the first quarter fiscal year 2018 results. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's first quarter fiscal year 2018 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at vecima.com under the Investors heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's unaudited consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 3 months ended September 30, 2017, which are available on SEDAR or www.vecima.com. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements other than statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs, and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility, and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance. As set forth under the risk under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 25, 2017, a copy of which will be available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in these earnings calls are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Sumit Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. First quarter of fiscal 2018 and the weeks that have followed have been a period of significant momentum for Vecima, both in terms of new product development and other strategic initiatives. I'm going to begin today with a brief overview of the key events. John will follow with our first quarter financial review. Then I'll return to talk about our outlook going forward. As you know, Vecima has been closely focused on development of Entra, our next-generation DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access solution. This new platform is designed to materially save space and power in cable operator hubs and deliver the bandwidth and technology they desperately need to support gigabit internet speeds and IP video across multiple screens. It's all part of an extensive technology transition underway in the cable industry, and with our new Entra distributed access platform, we're making it clear that Vecima intends to be a major player in this market. I'm pleased to report that we're making excellent progress on all parts of the Entra solution. During the first quarter, we delivered the Entra legacy QAM adapter solution into customer labs for testing, a significant milestone. Our Entra remote PHY access node has been shortlisted at one of the world's largest MSOs, as we also mentioned on our last call. Soon after being shortlisted, we demonstrated the interoperability of our solution, both at a major industry event and at a Tier 1 customer lab. Those demonstrations went extremely well. and in recent weeks, we received further validation of our Android solution and recognition by the industry as part of the BTR Diamond Technology Reviews. This is both a prestigious and meaningful honor in that it highlights the best new technologies to our cable industry customers. Our Entra Access switch received top honors, winning the Transport and Carrier Ethernet category. And our Entra Distributed Access platform was also named as a finalist in the CCAP Systems category. The judges described it as a game changer that leads the way towards a software-defined future by improving flexibility and ultimately lowering the total cost of ownership. I should add that our new Terrace DBB platform was also recognized by the reviews as a finalist in the Video Distribution Systems category. Now, let me discuss an exciting major development that occurred shortly after quarter end. We entered into an agreement to acquire the video content and delivery business of Concurrent. We've agreed to purchase the assets of the business for $29 million US, and the deal is expected to close around the end of the calendar year, following regulatory and shareholder approvals. This transaction has been more than a year in the making. 1 year ago, in our Q1 FY17 earnings call, we outlined our strategy to address a large and rapidly growing video on demand and IP video content delivery markets. The transition to IP video is one of the two most important evolutions taking place in the industry today. The other is gigabit broadband access, and the two feed off each other. As we've been highlighting for some time now, IP video, over-the-top, streaming, multi-screen, these are the very reasons for the sensational escalation in bandwidth that's occurring in the first place. And stats tell the story. Global IP traffic is expected to triple over the next 5 years, and of that, IP video is going to take up over 80% of the bandwidth that's being created. On the one side, you have Vecima building gigabit access platforms like Entra that will connect all this bandwidth to people. And on the other side, you have Concurrent building the content delivery networks that are needed to carry that internet-delivered video traffic, as well as a storage platform to hold the vast vaults of content to be sent out over IP. It's an ideal pairing. Not only will Vecima be able to address the two largest and fastest growing markets in the cable industry today, but together with Concurrent, we can also create a massively scalable video and data solution for the market. We were also impressed with their talent. The entire team at Concurrent is highly experienced and proven in our industry, and that's a great scale out of our existing team. And with Concurrent on board, we'll be adding a large presence in the US, as well as groups in Asia and in Europe. This positions us nicely for future international expansion and support. This is a strategic business combination. Vecima can thrive as a global end-to-end vendor for both IP video and gigabit broadband. That's a powerful corporate reach and portfolio. We can serve more MSOs with more highly relevant products. Overall, we're very excited about the new opportunities it presents. So, in summary, lots of strategic initiatives and developments over the past few months. Financially, the first quarter played out largely as expected. We achieved revenues of $14.9 million and adjusted EBITDA of $2.9 million. We ended the quarter in a strong financial position from which to fund our continued development and future developments with over $103 million in cash. Overall, it's been a productive and promising start to the fiscal year. And at this point, I'll ask John to review our first quarter results with you in more detail. John?
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen the news release and financial statements for the fiscal 2018 first quarter that are posted on Vecima's website. I will present the relevant numbers in discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. I'll start with consolidated sales. For the 3 months ended September 30th, 2017, we generated sales of $14.9 million. This was 29% lower than the same quarter last year, but 2% higher compared to Q4 fiscal 2017. In the video and broadband solutions segment, first quarter sales of $13.6 million were down 30% year over year, but fairly similar to the $13.5 million achieved in Q4 2017. Looking at specific product families within this segment, Terrace Family sales of $7.3 million decreased 20% year-over-year. This reflects lower demand as some customers neared the end of their digital network conversions and sales of our TC1200 and TC600 slowed. However, on a sequential quarterly basis, Terrace Family sales increased 15% as one of our Tier 1 customers increased purchases of the TC600E. Terrace Guam sales of $3.4 million decreased by 56% year-over-year and by 41% quarter-over-quarter, in line with our expectations. The lead MSO customer for Terrace Guam purchased significant quantities of new platforms in the first half of fiscal 2017 and has been drawing down inventory since then. I'm pleased to report that DVAP sales increased to $1.6 million in the first quarter, after having no sales since completing the initial contract commitment in June 2016. The Q1 sales were driven by the rollout of our new DVAP software upgrade during the period. Turning to our telematics segment, sales in the first quarter were $1.3 million compared to $1.4 million a year ago and $1.2 million in Q4 fiscal 2017. Slightly lower legacy product sales accounted for the year-over-year changes in the sales. Our consolidated gross margin grew to 57% in the first quarter, up from 52% last year and 51% in Q4. This increase reflects higher gross margin from both of our business segments. In the case of video and broadband solutions, margins were positively impacted by higher margin DVAP software sales, as well as by operating efficiencies achieved as a result of the restructuring we completed early in the quarter. First quarter R&D expenses increased to $3.2 million compared to $2.8 million last year. As always, I note that reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That is because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial development. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the first quarter increased to $5.8 million from $4.7 million a year ago. This increase reflects the ramp-up of investment to support the launch of new products, including our new Entra platform and related products. Turning to sales and marketing expenses, these decreased by $0.2 million year-over-year and $0.3 million sequentially, primarily reflecting higher finished goods inventory allowances last year. G&A expenses increased slightly to $2.6 million from $2.5 million in both Q1 and Q4 fiscal 2017. The increase reflects higher acquisition-related expenses in the current period, partially offset by lower amortization and staffing costs. We generated first quarter operating income of $1.7 million as compared to $4.2 million a year ago. Lower sales and gross profit, together with slight increase in operating expense, were the key factors here. On a sequential quarterly basis, operating income was up $2.4 million from an operating loss of $0.7 million in Q4 2017. This mainly reflects higher gross profit in the current period, together with lower operating expenses. We achieved net income from continuing operations of $1 million, or 4 cents per share. This was down from $3.6 million, or 16 cents per share, in the comparable period last year. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the first quarter with record high cash and short-term investments of $103.2 million. Working capital was strong at $116.3 million. Finally, first quarter cash flow from continuing operations, excluding non-cash working capital, was $2.7 million. Overall, our results were largely consistent with our expectations for the first quarter of the fiscal 2018 transition year, and we're moving forward in a very strong financial position. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. Before we turn the call over to questions, let me highlight a few more details on Entra and the concurrent acquisition. Starting with Entra, to remind investors, we have a full ecosystem of platforms for distributed access architecture well underway and are marching towards lab and field trials with a strong list of Tier 1s. This program is intense, and the market is expected to be highly competitive. Yet for Vecima, it means a mainstream growth opportunity where we are poised to succeed. As we know, cable operators are racing towards gigabit broadband speeds with strategies to take fiber closer to homes and leverage DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access technology like Entra. Vecima is making rapid progress with Entra, and it will empower our customers to drive their gigabit strategy. But let's consider the why of why they are doing this. IP-delivered video is exactly what is putting strain on the network for bandwidth and is the root cause of the need to go to gigabit speeds. Cable operators are facing it in two ways. First, they need to increase bandwidth with DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access to keep up and continue their leadership in broadband internet subscriptions. Second, the fiercest competition they are seeing on pay TV, an area that they lead today, is from over-the-top video delivered using IPTV technology. This means the cable MSOs too need to evolve their video solution to an IPTV offering and leverage their advantages, like their ability to package more content than anyone else. That is where our acquisition of Concurrent dovetails with Entra. Concurrent brings a technology to Vecima that MSOs will use for IPTV itself, the content delivery platforms, and the scale-out storage. If you think about services like Netflix and Amazon Video, those services are built on the very IP technology that Concurrent provides to cable MSOs. Every time a consumer streams, they pull content from a distributed network of origin and edge servers that intelligently store and hand off the content to provide a seamless, low latency, and high quality of experience delivery. Between our Entra development and the Concurrent deal, Vecima offers the end-to-end solution for IPTV and gigabit broadband. That's our vision. In terms of our business outlook, we continue to view fiscal 2018 as a transition year given the technology shift taking place in the cable industry. We're also anticipating contribution from the Concurrent business in the second half. Concurrent achieved annual revenues of almost $28 million U.S. in its last fiscal year, and we believe it can generate more than $5.5 million U.S. in annual adjusted EBITDA after capturing synergies and removing public company costs. Given market uncertainty, it remains difficult to provide specific guidance for fiscal 2018, but we continue to be very excited about Vecima's future prospects. We're making excellent progress with our new technologies. The acquisition will open up important new markets and opportunities. Management is looking forward to seeing our R&D and M&A investments pay off to realize our vision for the growth and future of Vecima as we celebrate our 30th year in business. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. You'll hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. The first question is from David Kwan of PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Morning, David.
Good
morning. So want to kind of dig through your various product lines here and try to get some more color on kind of how you see demand playing out. So on Terrace, you obviously talked about the Tier 1 MSO that's kind of trying to complete their digital conversion. So, you know, we saw a pretty good uptick this quarter, at least sequentially. How do you expect that to kind of play out over the rest of the year? Like, is it going to be a lot more front, you know, first half loaded versus second half? Any color you can provide would be great.
Yeah, so thanks, David. Let me start with, you know, the rest of calendar year 17 in the first place. You know, we're expecting, you know, good continuation of the rebound with some of their merger impact and one of those tier ones largely behind us. You know, thinking about post Q1, you know, let me outline some of the factors that will influence it. You know, as we started 2017 in the calendar year, we had two tier one MSOs, you know, kind of progressing through this network-wide TC600E deployment, you know, along with some ongoing network filling activity at the lead MSO customers. So we did anticipate that one of those tier ones would complete their all-digital conversion phase early in our, you know, calendar 17. while the other would, you know, carry forward well into the year. And, you know, meanwhile, we got forecasts from the lead MSO that signaled their terrace family purchases would slow in the back half of this calendar year while they draw down some inventory. So as of now, that lead customer is still in that inventory consumption mode in network fill-in. And, you know, there's that one tier one MSO that's continuing wide scale, all digital conversion rollout. You know, they're probably approaching 60% penetration, going aggressively. You know, we think as we approach the end of the calendar year that, that things will start to graduate over to network fill-in for that customer. So, you know, continuation at least through Q2, and then, you know, things will start to level off.
And for the, I guess, the other tier one, so you have your lead customer that's kind of in the network fill-in stage,
right,
kind of drawing down inventories, and you've got two other tier one MSOs, the one that, you know, finished up the integration, being Charter, I guess. So you expect that to probably tail off probably Q4-ish time frame, I guess. And that's Q4.
Yeah, and without, again, naming customers, which we don't do, you know, that other tier one MSO is going strong. They are, you know, I think somewhere around 60% penetrated. You know, we're seeing some indication that that can continue through into Q3. You know, and it gets difficult at this stage of the game to predict exactly when they finish up, while they're getting, you know, quite aggressive in Q1, Q2, et cetera. So I think that can, you know, lead to definitely good things in Q2. And Q3 is where we need to watch for the, you know, signs of transition to network fill-in at that customer. You know, meanwhile, the lead has been, as we know, for some time, you know, in an inventory position that they've been trying to graduate out. You know, both the Terrace and Terrace Guam platforms are, you know, their flagship commercial video platforms and their blueprints and playbooks and whatnot. But we do think that saturation is starting to play a role in, at that customer.
So do you expect the Terrace order levels, at least from the one that's kind of ramping it up after the integration work, do you expect kind of even order flow, like similar to Q1 levels in Q2 and maybe Q3 and then start to drop off, or do you have any visibility from that standpoint?
You know, I think the way we look at it is in the big picture sense of between Terrace and Terrace Qualm, we're looking at that, you know, effectively those two products leading us to that 80% of FY17 for full year FY18. You know, and there's a lot of timing variability as we've seen quarter over quarter here, time and again. So, you know, our best view is that Q2 is going to be largely consistent with Q1, potentially with some opportunity for year-end spend growth on budgets and whatnot that happens in the industry. And then Q3, we're going to have this period of trying to understand if they're getting closer to completion of the all-digital conversion.
Okay, perfect. And then moving on to Terrace Qualm then, do you have, you know, it was down materially year-over-year, quarter-over-quarter. Do you have a sense on where inventory levels are with your lead customer and when we could potentially see order levels rebound?
We are seeing that information, that data point on where they're out in inventories has been relatively obscure to us for some time now. You know, our best proxy is in the ongoing forecast we see, and that indicates to us that the situation is continuing for some time. You know, in the full year fiscal 17, Terrace Qualm, we were effectively level to where we were in FY16, I should say. And you know, what was happening there is we had a lead MSO customer rolling out this MPEG-4 upgrade program heavily through our fiscal 17, and that leveled things off. But the indications are that program itself is starting to achieve, you know, completion somewhat by the end of this calendar year. So again, we have a scenario where, you know, there's inventory and new system sales and timing of a rebound there is still hard to understand. And we think that, although again, it remains their platform for hospitality HD, that they're going to be there for some time, and you know, there's only so many properties, commercial properties like hotels and an MSO footprint. So, you know, in our view of the big picture there, that they're starting to approach saturation generally. We've done some good things, fiscal 17 with the upgrade program, and we do have a second software release for that upgrade coming. That's just been approved, actually, and that network rollout hasn't quite started yet. But we don't think it's as mandatory for their markets as the first upgrade program. So that overall picture tends to show us that as we get through the end of this calendar year, Q1, Q2, that we're going to see some continuation of this slowdown we've had.
So that upgrade, I guess, is the audio upgrade. It sounds like it's more of a software upgrade.
Yes.
So I guess higher margins, lower revenue opportunity?
I guess a way to look at that is true. It is a software upgrade to our existing upgrade kit, but the way we look at that in terms of how it translates to revenue for us is that it'll lead to higher penetration of the kit itself on systems that haven't gotten the hardware kit in the first place. So, you know, as the markets roll out this advanced audio compression that's ready to go, you know, we would tend to think of more kit sales and penetrating more of the deployed base of our Terrace Quamp systems at this MSO. So it's increasing your penetration rate of the upgrade kit rather than selling a specific software upgrade.
And then moving on to Terrace DVB, any updates there as it relates to what's going on in Europe as it relates to the pilots?
Sure. Yeah, ongoing progress has been made in the lab with that MSO. Again, it's a smaller geographic footprint of a very large Tier 1 MSO in Europe that we're working with there, and you know, we're optimistic about what that can mean to carbon copy it over to the rest of that footprint for that very large MSO. You know, we're making quick progress towards getting into field trials there. You know, we could start to see towards the end of this calendar year, again, lots of moving pieces at the end of calendar 17 for us, but again, going towards that field trial and looking for order flow and early in calendar 18.
Okay. And then moving on to the DVAP, can you get a sense, or give us, I guess, a sense of how you expect that idea software upgrade to play out? Because from what I recall, I think you've talked about kind of 10% of hardware sales is kind of the revenue opportunity there. So, you know, if I take a look at that $19 million contract you had U.S., it seems like a good chunk of that was bought this quarter, assuming that the $1.6 million was all software purchases.
Yeah, $1.6 million Canadian software purchases. The way to look at that is we're approaching in the ballpark of actually 40-50%. Of the systems that they purchased under the take-or-pay contract, having gotten licenses for the software upgrade. So we're still kind of halfway done there and have an opportunity to take that upgrade to the remaining half of the population.
Okay. So is it something where it'll probably take some time for that to roll out, or you expect to see them come back and order next quarter in Q3?
Yeah, very much so. It will take some time. See, they built up inventory after they completed the take-or-pay contract with us on the hardware June 2016, so a year and a half ago at this point. So, you know, they bought licenses for that inventory. That has to, and again, this upgrade, to remind everyone what the target is, it enables the DVAP platform to effectively support distributed access architecture. So anytime an MSO needs to go to distributed access architecture, they're forced to move over to this platform for their video network and those hubs and whatnot. So what we need to see is distributed access architecture as a whole start to deploy. That'll pull down inventory at the OEM customer and then lead us to the potential both for new systems and more software upgrades in the field.
Okay, perfect. And then moving on to Entra, any update there as it relates to kind of timelines for the two existing Tier 1 MSOs that you're involved with? Are you still kind of expecting kind of maybe mid-year next in calendar, I guess, 18 for field trials?
Yeah, that's what we're working towards. And, you know, lab and field trials are the sequence of events. We have the one tier one. We entered lab trials in May of 17, making ongoing progress there. And there's refinement going on to align with their overall view of how they want to phase out distributed access architecture between remote PHY, convertible nodes, and MacPHY and whatnot. So ongoing activity there. We've been looking to move that MSO, you know, targeted towards the field trial, hopefully in, you know, that mid-2018 time frame. And then on the shortlist MSO, again, we're leading tier one, that we are one of four vendors out of kind of eight to ten in the industry that were shortlisted. You know, they're going to have to get towards lab trials, lab qualification, followed by field trial, followed by deployment. Now, with that said, they're trying to move quickly, but that also, you know, makes openings in the lab for qualifying our node and the other three a challenge for them. So that's how we're looking at their timing, in the sense that, you know, they want to move quickly. They've got four nodes to qualify, and we need to slot in for a lab qualification followed by a field trial.
And the one that you'd gone to the labs earlier this year, I think the one that you talked about last quarter in terms of the RFP is opportunity, I think, was kind of hundreds of thousands of nodes. How does the one that you announced earlier this year compare, I guess, in terms of size of the opportunity?
On a kind of size of the MSO level, they're very similar to the one we are shortlisted with. But as always happens in the industry, the networks are you know, through the many decades of evolution, have landed them in different scenarios versus each other, even though they may be of similar subscriber size overall. You know, the tier one from earlier in the year, we don't think they're as pressed to move very quickly to distributed access architecture. And that's part of the reason we're spending this much time in a lab. We've kind of got some great alignment with their long-term vision with putting MacPHY in their labs in May. But they, you know, given that their network gives them some opportunity for to take the right amount of time to plan this out, you know, they're looking at how do they want to phase this out from remote PHY to convertible to MacPHY. So that's building up. But in terms of relative size, you know, equivalent subscriber count, but differences in the network, you know, we don't think they're going to be as big as the shortlist MSO for overall node count, but they'll be, you know, very meaningful nonetheless.
And what kind of interest are you seeing outside of North America for Entra?
Mm-hmm. Outside of North America, and again, this from the outset, DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access have been designed for the first time to be globally applicable, where prior generations had differences between North America and outside. So we're very addressable to the global market. Things are underway. It's a bit of a different environment. I've talked before about competitive environment being different on the commercial video side. That also is somewhat of the case on broadband access. So, you know, generally what we're seeing is the usual scenario with where, you know, in areas like Europe and whatnot, they may have a bit more of a later schedule than on the U.S. front for when they may convert. We are seeing activity and, you know, leading potentially to more RFPs happening, particularly in Europe and whatnot. And, you know, across the family for Entra, you know, starting to look at putting a few things into the lab for them to look at in Europe, for example.
Last question, Entra. Just can you talk about the legacy QAM solution? And then just you talked about having many customers in trials. Just some more color as it relates to around that.
Yeah, legacy QAM adapters is a little bit of a new product in the portfolio that we can talk about, kind of a fourth product, if you will. And what we're doing there is building a solution that makes it very native and easy for an MSO that's going to distributed access architecture to support the video set-top boxes that are behind the distributed access node. That requires, either they have to integrate things in a CCAP core, and video, network infrastructure has been a long and convoluted legacy at these MSOs. So the software isn't necessarily a focus to do that today in the CCAP core. So what's resonating with these MSOs is an opportunity to have a high density device in the hub that just lets them reuse their existing infrastructure and pipe the content over to the node. That's what the legacy QAM adapter is able to offer, and it gives them an answer for video outside of waiting for software to get developed for video within the CCAP core.
Thanks. Last question, just on the gross margins, obviously a big uptick year-over-year, quarter-over-quarter. To what extent was that driven by the DVAP sales versus the restructuring?
Yeah, so we saw an uptick from, versus Q4 from 51 to 57%. The way I look at that is about, we did have DVAP software that created an uplift in the product mix front. There's also another Terrace-related piece of software that rolled out in Q1 that helped there as well. So, and then we had, of course, the realization of the operating efficiencies. So I think 3%, of that 6% gain came from operating efficiency. And then looking at the other 3%, what we had is a blend of this product mix stuff, in uplift from DVAP and this other software piece. But there was an offset from foreign exchange impact, where we saw the average effective sales weighted rate go down between Q4 and Q1 in the ballpark of 12 cents. So that actually pulled it back down a bit. 3% on operating efficiencies and 3% net on product mix and FX.
So going forward, would you expect gross margins to be kind of closer to the mid-50s as opposed to the low-50s then?
I think we've had some uplifts here in Q1 that have with the product mix that have really helped lift it up to that 57 level. Going back to normal course, my best view is that we could be averaging between 50 and 54% range for the full year. And that accounts for all of the above: top line, product mix, FX, and the gains we've got from operating efficiencies.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
The next question is from Todd Coughlin of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Morning, Todd.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more on Entra. So it sounds like you'll be going back and forth between a few different kinds of trials at target customers for the better part of 2018. Calendar 2018, I guess, is what I think I heard. So is it the best guess now that material sales, assuming these trials conclude in 18, probably aren't going to start until calendar 2019? Am I listening to this right?
I think that, there's an optimistic and pessimistic side to that. We have seen a lot of timing fluctuations, as we talked about in July and September, the market itself has shifted quite a bit. We may not have been too surprised by that overall, given the amount of work that needs to be done here. The industry has a lot of work to do between taking fiber deep, putting an intelligent node in the network, and things like that for the first time. And if you're thinking about how fast, the best case could be, we get into these, for example, the shortlist RFP, we get into the lab trial early in calendar 18, make it through that. We feel confident there because we've had some great progress in interoperability and the interoperability events and demos and whatnot, but we can move relatively quickly. And then you can move towards the field trial mid-year if all goes fast. And, material revenue for us out of the field trial at that type of MSO, so that could lead to, translating to some deployment later in calendar 18 there. So it's still potential for calendar 18 for us.
And is there any way to sort of put a range of opportunity on what this could add to revenue a year out? it plays out? Like, is this could this add 50, 60 million to calendar 2019, or is it a 50 to 100 million, or like how 10 million? Like, how are you sort of thinking about it once it gets rolling? Like, I know you put, you know, market forecasts out there, but just wondering if you can dig into it from an investment point of view a little bit more.
Yeah, I think from an investment point of view, we've talked a lot about overall market size being very large, and then, you know, our target segment kind of looking at 150 million to 300 million that we're trying to be very addressable to and lead in. The way we want to see things develop is that, you know, given some of the tier ones we're engaged with and building that list even further as we go here in calendar 18, that fiscal year 19, I don't think it's unreasonable to target in the range of 30, 40 million thereabouts. And you could think of a single, you know, tier one MSO as being easily able to drive 5 to 10 million a quarter to us in revenue out of these products. And if it ramps up further than that too. So it's this build out starting, you know, of course, where we're at today, pre-revenue growing to 40 million a year, and then aiming for 150 million a year.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's helpful. And just remind me, like, this is obviously a system sale versus a module sale. Do the gross margins of this product, once it gets going, are they comparable in the 50-55? Are they lower? What might that look like as you move into deployments?
Okay, well, not to give you the non-answer, but there's a bit of an it depends in there, Todd. You know, we've got so many now, four kind of members of the portfolio family, and each of them is going to have unique margin profiles. And it kind of ties to the overall deployment volume of those types of nodes. You know, a MacFi node, we think that margins in excess of what, you know, our overall corporate gross is these days are feasible at this stage of the game. MoFi, something that is intended to go out in very heavy volume, like we've been talking about, we could see the gross line there start to drive down on the margin front. It's highly competitive and whatnot as well, and some pretty aggressive targets set by these MSOs. But success there means that, you know, the revenue, the top line and the volume that we would achieve even at these lower gross margin points on our MoFi would lever up on our OpEx and lead to good EBITDA margin. So we're comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you say highly competitive, is it in the 30s or the 40s?
It could, as the volume really scales, approach the 30s, absolutely.
And then just on concurrent, so you're buying a delivery and storage business. Is that content delivery and storage business? Is there any recurring revenue there, or do you just need to scale that up for greater content needs with higher bandwidth? Is it, like, just talk a little bit about how the rhythm of that business is going to work.
Sure. So, you know, in terms of model point of view, first of all, it is a software technology, both on the storage and on the content delivery, the origin and edge servers. So you're looking at, you know, an appliance-based hardware sale or a reference of a server with some bundle-based software, and then you're going to add capacity licenses, and those capacity licenses are driven by bandwidth or gigabytes stored or gigabytes pulled in and pulled out of the platform overall. So not inherently recurring today. They do have about on the order of for service sales, support and maintenance and professional services, about 30% of their revenue coming from that. And a decent amount of that is going to be recurring in nature with the support and maintenance contracts that are going to roll, very, very widely deployed across the industry today on-demand video. So we're pleased with the amount of recurring that we're getting out of support and maintenance. But as the product lines flow out more so, it's more of a capacity licensing scenario.
Okay. So, you know, if we think, you know, roughly 9 or 10 million support and then 20 million new sales you've got to go and generate from the market, what's the adoption cycle for their products right now? Is it a saturated market waiting for the upgrade cycle that we're talking about for Entra, or is it ongoing now? What are they experiencing?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the way to look at that perhaps is between kind of, in a way, legacy technology and new technology. So, you know, on the on-demand video for you know, legacy QAM set-top boxes, they're probably, you know, at the tail end of a market cycle there, but they're relatively very early in an IPTV cycle at MSOs. And as we've been talking about, the MSOs are going to transition to IPTV for the entirety of their video, including on-demand and linear. Cloud DVR, multi-screen, all of these things are going in an IP direction. And there's a lot of dry powder, or not dry powder, you know, market to start there. So good on that sense. And then on the storage front, you know, their scale out storage with the query platform is pretty much brand new, and that's quite unpenetrated in the media and entertainment vertical for storage. You know, lots of vaults of content are still on tapes and things like that. Those have to transition over to digital storage. As you put more and more on-demand content into the IPTV ecosystem, your storage needs ramp up pretty quickly. So we're early in that cycle too.
So when you think about sort of new sales, is this like a 5-10% revenue growth business, or
I think we're looking for a bit more than that. You know, we want to see the business hit 10-20% type growth rates.
Okay.
And you know, we've seen operating plans that can support that.
Okay. And how many people are you taking on with this acquisition?
You know, give or take, on the side of 100 people.
Okay. And they're in Georgia, right?
Primarily, yes. Something? Yeah, I mean, their sales—they're headquartered in Georgia, two locations there, and kind of the Atlanta metro area. Bulk of the people, their sales team in the U.S. is actually distributed by design, so they'll have them kind of working out of home offices across the country. And then we've got people in U.K., Germany, Portugal, and a big contingent in Tokyo.
Okay. So. And just one last question on Concurrent. The customers that they have, is this does it mirror your MSOs effectively? So now you've got a couple pieces you're selling to the same teams.
In certain cases, for sure. You know, not customer by customer. You know, if you drew the Venn diagram, you'd end up with some that we both have, some that they have, we don't have, and vice versa. So overall, we collectively grow our pool of customers, and we have some of the logos, some of the most important logos collectively.
Okay. And where there's overlap, is it the same technology teams that you're selling Entra and the other modules to, or is it different groups within the MSOs?
It's always an interesting thing in cable industry, and I do think eventually it'll unify as IPTV rolls out, but today video and access groups are split. It's interesting, though, you know, on commercial video, we see a lot of the same people that they see on their video products. So, you know, a little bit of dichotomy there between video and broadband for now. You know, one day maybe we'll see that come together.
So that's fine. But so is it a bit of a learning cycle for you on that, or are you comfortable enough with the MSOs that you can sort of intelligently respond to what you're hearing from this group now that you're mm-hmm. owning them.
I mean, we are quite comfortable given what we've done with the Investima to this point, so no worries there. Of course, any time you're acquiring a new set of products, you have to get up to speed. We've done a good job to this point. We have to get through closing, and we're keeping their team intact as well. So we think we'll be, no ripples in how to handle the customers collectively.
Gentlemen, appreciate all the color and the detail on a long list of questions. So good luck with both of these efforts. Talk soon.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
There are no more questions at this time. This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.